Welcome back. Hope you all enjoyed our slightly late dinner last night and the demos. But today we are sort of going to get serious about what we're coming up with as a result of the meeting. Specifically, if we can arrive at something we can all agree with, and that's the communique, basically, find our areas of commonality as opposed to where we disagree. And Leo's going to kind of run the show this morning. He's and Mark, okay. Leo and Mark are going to run the show. And basically try and recap a little bit of what happened yesterday without just opening it all up to another discussion, but using that as a springboard, basically, to where we can go as far as what Leo's already put down, I know, on the wiki in terms of a draft communique with feedback and all from various other people, including Mark, to see how we can contribute something basically to the larger community in terms of recommendations for an ontology repository. And then that also feeds, of course, into the work of the other group, the Open Ontology Repository group and project, which we'll be hearing from this afternoon. So the logistics is pretty much the same as yesterday, and you see the schedule here on the screen. For those online, it's the wiki page showing the second day of the agenda. We'll break for lunch at 12:30 today, and then in the afternoon we're having the presentation of the Open Ontology Repository community. And at the end of the day, 3 o'clock or so, we'll be presenting where we have arrived with the actual communique at that point, in the tradition of these ontology summits, where we try and come up with a concrete statement that the world can then digest and hopefully use. So we're scheduled to end at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Hopefully that meets up with everyone's logistical plans. So Leo, why don't you take it away?
Okay, thanks, folks. And Mark, you can either come up, walk around, or stay where you are, you know. But we're going to be co-leading this, so. Okay. What I'd like to do here is, you may have seen that the communique, an updated version, is on the wiki site. The state of that is basically some preamble. What we're trying to do this year, leading into requirements, and then individual sections on the discussion threads that that were created, and we heard from yesterday, their summaries, and then followed by a conclusion that kind of looks ahead towards the OOR project itself. So, you know, our effort this morning is, and up till when we communicate this communique this afternoon, we're going to be trying to get in agreement on this. Now, I tried to keep everything fairly non-controversial and essentially repeat the summaries that the individuals in their distinct threads provided. And make it kind of cohesive, if you will. But what I'd like to do now is kind of just pull up a couple of the slides from yesterday on the individual sessions or threads and highlight things that generate more discussion, because I don't think things are quite resolved, and we may want to make some modifications to the communique, but maybe not. So has anyone seen the communique yet, besides me and Mark? Okay, good. Good. Well, so only the ones that have seen it are allowed to vote now. So, what I'll do is now our session, the communique itself session starts at 9:30. We have roughly an hour for discussion, then we break, and then we have some mopping up operations, if you will, to modify the communique for the afternoon. So we truly want to be done with this before lunch today. And lunch is defined as at noon, not 5 o'clock. Okay, so, oops, this is still down. Okay. Let me just bring them all up. Okay, we're not in any preferential order here, not necessarily even sequential. So the state of the art, which Frank discussed yesterday based on conversations that had gone on the distribution list, and obviously his own strong knowledge about this area, He brought up a couple issues such as, the drive towards requirements. What do we want from an ontology repository? These are things we're seeing all the time, right? So this is only a couple slides that we'll highlight here, but we're going to see these threads in many ways through the course of the thread discussions that we're summarizing and we're trying to incorporate into the communique. There's obviously content. There's issues about how an ontology repository would be used. So everything from, natural language processing support, integration of various kinds, database and other kinds of queries, classification, indexing of documents, also control vocabularies, and then really, arbitrary services at some point which access the ontologies and use them for whatever purposes they want. Frank also mentioned centralized versus federated architectures, and I think that we're all interested in principle in distributed. They may be federated, but they're distributed, and it's issues that the OOR will have to address, from an engineering perspective. But we know some of the distinctions: centralized, federated, hybrid. Frank also distinguished two levels, a macro and micro level, and they kind of reflect each other. So the capabilities of one, maybe in at a lower level for the micro is comparable. Search is going to be extremely important. What is our search methods today, right? We have Keyword, and we have Sparkle, we have SQL for the most part. But for the repository itself, again, we may have to use combinations. And then, obviously, ontology content and structure, representation issues, including, whether if we go semantic web, for example, whether you'll support things like beyond triple stores, which is the basis of RDF, with the idea, of course, that underlyingly, most of these things will be probably graph structured. I make the argument that even logic-based representations, if you're going to have a complex ontology and an efficient implementation, probably it's going to be graph structured underneath anyways. Even a logical representation. Partial orders. We talked about lattice of theories and modules for ontologies, and we hope that these aspects will apply here. That includes relating these ontologies in some way, and hopefully in logical ways. We haven't talked about it, but there's other architectures out there, such as, formalized context, micro theories, for example, from psych. And that might be something we really want to pursue for structuring the way we relate ontologies, assuming that we're going to provide those services. Provenance information, various kinds. Now, this will be reflected both in as its metadata, if you will, but it's metadata that's important for the quality and gatekeeping folks. It's metadata for the ontology of ontologies. But for any kind of use, real use of the repository, you're going to need provenance information. And we know, in general, that if you keep everything, all provenance information, it's prospectively unwieldy. So we may need to have a provenance model. And obviously other tools that might be useful, visualization, editors, differencing tools, you know, syntactic and semantic, these modularization tools, version management, and, you know, import-export functions. And of course, you know, it's not just data, it's services too. So ontologies will support semantics of services, plus will use services. So the repository has to address those. The architecture session, I'm just very briefly summarizing these things, and in fact, probably this one will be even more abbreviated, just to kind of refresh our memories of some of the aspects that we covered yesterday to lead into our discussion of the communique. So Michelle and Ravi, addressed these the issues, and there was vast discussion going on about architecture and requirements for architecture on the distribution list over the last 3, 4, 5 months. Again, we see some of these things raised again, centralized versus federated architecture. Archiving, you know, versioning, saving current stuff backwards, with deprecation issues, but also just they may be live because individuals and developers, groups, still use the ontologies, even though they're previous versions. And then this distinction between a repository registry, we've had this discussion about 4 or 5 months, with the idea that a registry is more like registering or, if you will, the metadata, the name of the ontology, what it's about, going through some sort of official registration process, kind of like a header, registering header information about something. And then the ontology itself being, as a part of the repository. But we've also had the discussion about knowledge bases, instance bases, right, facts, whatever we want to call them, as being stored in the repository too, because that would be very useful just for use of the ontologies and also mapping issues. You map between ontologies. It's good to know that maybe they cover the same instances. And therefore, the instance level information, just like data level information, can assist you. Management of the repository, metadata, again, metadata, provenance, but also ontology of ontologies, quality, gatekeeping metadata. Representation issues, how are the ontologies formatted and what are the representation languages? And then obviously services again. So in all these, we'll see a lot of continuity, a lot of really threads within these threads are consistently explored by the individual discussion groups. Support of outside applications, but also services. Michelle and Ravi brought this up. This is extremely important, too. So we know that there may be applications, but more and more often there are services. Since the world seems to be going towards service-oriented architectures, web services, how do we register those? Do we have degrees of service support? You own your service, but does the repository have individual services and issues with how those services interact with the repository? Mapping and integration issues. We've touched on that, I think, on every one of the sessions. It's not enough just to put it out there and they will come, right? Field of Dreams. And they'll find the best ontology. We don't think that kind of laissez-faire perspective really works. We want to have value. We want to build infrastructure. I guess one poll might be the semantic web as it exists now, meaning islands of semantics. You know, you have the language, you can build, expose the semantics of your data and your services, your enterprise, your internet. But how do people span these ontologies? Mapping is, we have some constructs, for example, now, but are they sufficient and at the right level of granularity? We think that the reason for a repository is to have common structures, common services, common infrastructure to support really the reality, which might of the first step of semantic web. Maybe this will be the second step. Fabian and Barry addressed quality and gatekeeping issues, and they took some pains to distinguish those. And, of course, in the communique, we want to make those distinct. They are related, but, you know, obviously they are slightly different. Gatekeeping, what are the minimal criteria for getting into the repository? Anything, right? Whatever we decide is going to be in it, what are the criteria for deciding what gets in there and maybe when? And then, of course, how do we get good stuff in there, right? We don't want to register even, we have the best gatekeeping, well, if you will, the best processes and procedures and structures in the world, but if we allow crap in all the time and we don't distinguish it, then, you know, we're duplicating at a micro level maybe what the web is doing at the macro level. We don't want some of these ontologies, or we may, right? I mean, part of the issue is what are the criteria for deciding what the quality is, and then how do we build procedures, processes to ensure that if that's really what we want. We can allow crap. We could put crap in, you know, the lowest rung, like the levels of hell or something like that, and allow the ontologies to rise up towards heaven as they meet more and more criteria.
That's
perfect. Yeah, perfect. Some may be stuck in limbo, right? I mean, you get the idea. So, and some of the gatekeeping criteria, obviously, openness, expressed in a formal language. We can register ontologies in natural languages, but do we want that? I think not. But again, it's up to the community. And then the authors or developers provide metadata. You know, what is this about? And you know, there's issues of trust and so forth. You know, you say it's about trucks. It's an ontology of trucks, but all we find are airplanes. You know, there's issues with that. So we may look a differently on you in the future. And then other ones, you know, identify the scope, be concerned about versions and make sure it's adequately labeled in addition to, you know, what it's about. Like, you know, if I have problems with it because it's not what it's about, who do I contact? You know, we don't want them storming the door of the OR or whatever, even if it's virtual. Saying, you know, what is this? We say, go after them. You know, go after the developer. Quality. Enable the evaluation of ontologies, right? So some of these criteria actually feed into evaluation, accreditation, certification, review processes, however we define those. How do we address really different perspectives on the ontologies? We talked about use and intent before, and use cases they satisfy or don't, the reasons they were built. We need to know those, and we need to know that, I built this to show you that I could build a crappy ontology. That's not really what we want. The consensus was there was no consensus on evaluation methods, at least from that discussion group. So it also brought up quality issue that obviously behind the scenes here maybe is governance policy. You know, how do we define these things? How do we define stewardship for the things that the repository is going to register? And remember, it's not necessarily just ontologies, but it's instances. It could be data from where the instances were drawn. I mean, we don't know. We would like to, at least have pointers to that. We might want to have various code bases, controlled vocabularies, such as, standards typically address all the time, country codes, digraph, trigraphs, different representations. What are the definitions people talk about when they talk about metadata? Maybe we can point to, standards that actually, have formalized that to some extent. Obviously over time, it may be a goal of ours that we promote better and better ontologies. So, it's not explicitly a goal of the OOR, but it may become that. In other words, to move the community, and there's multiple communities in the community, the worldwide community, if you will, move them ahead, make them allow them to learn and understand that there's better things and how to distinguish the better things. Including services that support those better things. And we've seen a number of discussions about openness. So openness, I think, is still kind of undecided as to which one we really want, whether it's a range of, can we tolerate a range of definitions of what constitutes open, open and free, and I think Peter had a little discussion about what that means. It's tricky issues. It's not like we say open or free and we know what that means necessarily. It's intellectual property and it's licensing, and there's various issues, including, will you join and give your stuff up if you don't get any money, or the extensions made to free stuff, do you get paid for that? And again, metadata. So metadata, metadata, metadata. A number of positions, obviously, we don't have to necessarily be exhaustive in this because there may be others. So there's no quality control for the OOR. It's wide open, much like the web, So there may be, maybe people prefer that. Do you want some, criteria filter things coming in, apply criteria, and then have quality assurance, aspects, once they're in, they're going to be evaluated, for example. They're going to be reviewed or whatever the methods are. We're going to enable services and structures and metadata so that users, and there's a vast range of users, can pick and choose, be able to evaluate in some sense, not the entire ontology, but whether they want to use it. And, many other issues. So, who haven't I covered here? And finally, the Ontology of Ontologies thread. Mike Gruninger and Pat Hayes led, and the discussion was very energetic about these issues. Actually, one thing that Mike Gruninger mentioned to me yesterday after the session was that, you know, this year's communique, this year's Ontology Summit is about an open ontology repository. Well, when you look backwards, the first ontology summit and the communique was about upper ontologies and how they should be mapped together, if you will, or at least agreement in principle that they should interact and work towards something that's, you know, wider than themselves. So folks that are using upper ontologies of any kind can use other ones because they're mapped or they have some sort of integration. And then last year, it was addressing the dimensions of ontology, right? Ontology is kind of a spectrum, if you will, a range of semantic models leading up to what we call maybe an ontology or even a high-end ontology like a logical theory. But, you know, along the way, there's taxonomies or folksonomies, taxonomies, control vocabularies, like the thesauri and conceptual models. So it seems like, you know, the fact that we're having this open ontology repository builds on those previous years. So it's almost like we planned everything 3 years ago, right? So this is entirely a purposeful activity. And now we're culminating until next year, of course, when we'll do something else and extend it. But the idea and that narrative thread is, I think, you know, interesting, especially if you consider maybe the first test might be, you know, get some of these upper ontologies, put them in the repository. Can you map them? I mean, can we think about they're going to be typically high-end, rich, expressive ontologies. So if we have services and criteria, metadata, structures, you know, maybe they're our first test case. I'm just opening that up as a suggestion. And, of course, the dimensions we're applying here are kind of reflected now in this ontology of ontologies. And the metadata that we're having associated with all of this. So the goal of last year, of course, was, you know, let's gauge what some of these dimensions are. And Mike and Pat and their discussion group kind of reviewed some of this, and you'll see reflections of it here. But the metadata, or, if you will, this meta-vocabulary for ontologies has many purposes. Every session we've talked about has this thread going through it. You need to have information about the information about the ontologies, the services, about the criteria, about, you know, there may be metadata to the metadata, if you will. But everyone needs this because that helps guide users, developers in their decisions. In their decisions about what to use, how to use it, how to map, and whether it's going to be of value to them because it satisfies use cases. You can't read everything and ingest it and understand the implications of what you've just read. So you need, you know, breadcrumbs along the way to let people know what you've done and, you know, how to follow what you've done. We all know we're going to retrieve ontologies. We're going to have to integrate ontologies, map them. We're going to have to, you know, store them, access them, perhaps their metadata, their data, and, if you will, meaning the ontologies, and their instances, and maybe even pointers backwards, URIs, for example, to where some of these things originated. You know, where you have this instance that's covered by this ontology, it's a person, and it's John Smith. Well, how do you know this John Smith is different from this John Smith? Maybe you can point back to something. You know, this John Smith refers to, you know, this person that was represented in these documents. Or, you know, this database. Sometimes it won't be accessible, but maybe it ends in a pointer to, you know, back to the developer. And just like last year, to some extent, you can, you know, partition the types of metadata. So there's a logical metadata, engineering metadata, if you will. And the logical metadata is exactly what you think, you know, the representation languages, the mapping modularity issues, and relationships between ontologies. Some existing approaches, obviously, the OMV, Ontology Metadata Vocabulary, OntoSelect, we found recently, and there's other proposals out there in other groups that, you know, are maybe a little farther ahead than us or you know, just starting much the same way we are. Users, a range of users, designers, developers of various kinds, application, service developers, and then obviously end users. Now, end users, they, you know, increasingly will become maybe their own developers for certain things. So the way, you know, the information technology is evolving, it's becoming more and more likely that you know, you'll be able to build your own applications, kind of, they may be clumsy or services, but the end users may be in charge of their own development. And of course, they leave us with a lot of questions rather than a lot of answers, right? So so this is the Jeopardy version, right? So, you know, when I say trucks are crap, then, you know, the question is, what is this ontology about? Right? So, ding, but I missed the buzzer, so. how has it been used? It may be used and extended for different purposes, right? And it may be subdivided into, you know, we talked about theories and components of ontologies, but you can imagine that something like Sumo is, by definition, a merged ontology, right? So there's a lot of ontologies fed into it. Are they necessarily distinguishable? Well, they are, to a certain extent. The modules are defined syntactically, you know, and can be separated in files. But what are the interactions between them? And can you yank one out? And what do you pull when you yank it? How much of the other ontology do you pull? I mean, these are issues that we have to talk about. So. And then there may be relations between ontologies that are actually defined in multiple languages, like, you know, time, originally time, Damo time, and then Ao time, and then various other theories of time, you know, situation calculus, event calculus, various things. They may be, in fact, related, but reduced because the language that expresses them, such as Ao, is not as expressive as first-order logic, which is the where the home theory or the main primary theory was originally defined. So, you know, very fast recapitulation of what we've done and what the folks presented yesterday, highlighting a couple threads. Now, I think what we'd like to do is shift, well, first of all, questions, replies, bricks. Good.
Just to kind of expand on that one thing I mentioned to you yesterday afternoon, it's almost to issue a challenge to, particularly to the people the upper ontology people who were at the first ontology summit 2 years ago, to actually to start there with the repository, because there are only, say, seven upper ontologies there. Each of them have significant number of worker years behind each of them, so the quality issues shouldn't be as interfering. And if we can't make our ontology repository ideas work with those seven, there's no hope to make it work for the 7,000 million whatever ontologies there will be on the web or eventually in the repository. So it might be one place to start to kind of use as a test case.
Since I was...
What's your name?
Fabian. Since I had the job at one time to map Buffalo to Dolce long, long time ago, Barry gave me this horrible job. I can tell you that's not likely going to work.
Remember, in the repository, the ontologies don't have to be mapped. But also remember that one of the seven costs 180 Swiss francs to get a copy of the PDF file, which is the only way to access the ontology. That's Matthew West's open ontology.
Yep, much less the open issue, too.
Do we have any folks on the phone? I don't know. Okay. You mean those ontologies?
Yes.
It's just it's one suggestion, period.
It makes it look like we do. Is the suggestion mean that we restrict the initial attempt to just those seven?
So at least those seven. Right. I mean, it's just some place to start. I mean, like the Stanford groups, you know, starting with a lot of the, you know, with BioPortal, starting with a lot of biomedical ontologies, that's one great place that people are actually working and making great progress. I'm just saying that if the people who were, say, what do you call those? The people who were on the panel for the upper ontology, stakeholders, the people who actually were presenting that upper ontology work, if they could at least work together to put those upper ontologies into the repository, where they, you know, these wouldn't necessarily be mapped, but it at least would be cohabiting. Custodians. That's the word, yes. You know, so that group could be working together, right? So it's not like it would be diverting resources, because, you know, they could work on that, and other people can be working on populating the repository with other ontologies. But I thought it was at least a place to start, and it did kind of fit this grand narrative of the different summits. So,
may I ask what we want to achieve if it's not, what do you mean by mapping or not mapping? In which case are they going to be linked? But because my question is, for example, there are different Mayo topologies embraced by different groups, and that means the meaning of parthood just differs because there are different sets of axioms. And it's hard. I mean, you can map parts. Put from one ontology to the other one, but the words just mean different things because they're guided by the meaning is guided by the axioms. And so, what would be the meaning of a link between the two?
See, this is why I suggest this, because all of a sudden now the repository is not so abstract. All of a sudden now we're asking concrete questions, and we might actually make some progress. Right, but that's my. When we were thinking of that repository in the abstract, we could say things like, oh, yeah, there should be these gatekeeping criteria, oh, and there should be this kind of metadata and that kind of metadata. But when we actually say, okay, well, let's put these seven ontologies into the repository, whatever that means, all of a sudden now we have to ask ourselves, well, wait a sec. What happens if there's some overlapping? What happens if there are these other relationships we didn't think of, right? See, now this makes the enterprise a little more crisp.
A comment here. If we're talking about mapping,
Who are you?
Pat Cassidy, Micra. If we're talking about mapping, I think we can start off understanding that there is going to be no such thing as a an exact match in logical meaning between any two elements of any two ontologies. As long as the ontologies differ in any way at all, then when you start doing a sequence of reasoning and follow the links in the ontology, you're going to wind up with a difference, if there's any structural difference at all. So what we can do is ask the question of whether the intended meaning, as described by the creator of the ontologies, appear to be identical. That's possible. And then you can also ask whether there are obvious differences between two elements that have approximately the same intended meaning, but they really have some differences. So those are two things you can do in mapping.
But let's not let the mapping issue derail everything. I mean, when we were talking about the repository in the abstract, mappings weren't such a big deal. I mean, one of the things was, I put a little scenario up. Alice is looking for a time ontology, a process ontology, a resource ontology, right? So it doesn't necessarily mean that all these ontologies have to be mapped. But if Alice wants to use Sykes' time ontology and Sumo's resource ontology and Dolce's continuant ontology, then can that happen, right? But now we actually have that concrete scenario to think about. But yeah, you're right, let's not let mapping derail everything. We'll trip over our shoelaces right away.
Thank you, Leo. Ravi Sharma, Vangent. I was a little bit perplexed by saying no quality, no expectation of quality. So if I were, to generate some random text or pseudo-random numbers or something of that sort and call it a ontology, and then there would be no way to stop me from putting it in. There should be some kind of custodian or gatekeeper concept at the minimum, which would say at least it has to make some minimum sense. Thank you.
I'll just throw in my opinion.
Steve
Ray, NIST, which is that the web certainly works for many of us with no quality control, and of course people add in quality control by various endorsements, if you like. If you go and, community voting, whatever. And what I was thinking, to incorporate Barry's ideas of having, a seal of quality or something, is what about the idea if we have essentially anything goes as far as contributions, but a reasonably sophisticated set of filters, if you like, for someone who wants to look at it. You could filter, for example, on only those things that have received the Barry Smith seal of approval or the, something like that. You could filter on things that users have found useful in some scale. You could, have a variety of ways to screen out what you might see as junk. So it could functionally perform just exactly like something that is very controlled or not, depending on your preference. I don't see much of a downside that way. But
I just want to add that's exactly what we're doing in BioPortal, that users will have the ability to look only at those with the Good Housekeeping seal of approval, and if they want, they can look at all the stuff that people have submitted.
Do you have only one Good Housekeeping seal of approval or many comments?
Deborah.
Deborah McGinnis, sorry.
Right now, we turn to Barry for guidance.
And I turn to Natasha.
But to answer your question. No. So we have the sort of what we envision is that there could be different communities. So, for example, there's the Oberfounder seal of approval. So you can just search for the Oberfounder. There's something endorsed by a particular other body or a particular user. So anyone can write a review. Any community can establish itself as a community and have its own type of approval. And then you can filter only Barry's ontologies, only ontologies that Deborah found useful, only ontologies that people actually used in some projects and found useful. So, yes.
Pat first, and then Bruce.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to have at least some kind of minimum requirement for example, an ontology with, say, fewer than 10 elements in it, which I think is your kithology.
Only has one.
has got to be pretty much completely useless. Another one is the...
Dublin Core is not much more than that.
It's got more than that in it.
We're going to be hung up on that number a very long time, whether it's 10 or 15.
When you're dealing with fuzzy boundaries, you take the outer edge so it's minimized conflict. The outer 10 has got to be the outer edge. Anyway, I would go for having some kind of quality minimum, maybe one criterion of minimum quality is the average number of words in the documentation per ontology element. I think probably there another case. You could make another case for a minimum number of words, saying at least 10 words average per doc. If you can't do that, then it's meaningless.
Bruce? Yeah, Bruce Bargmeier. I'd also endorse Steve's suggestion. I think it's the right way to go. Where attempts have been made to establish a TSAR who says this is useful, this is good quality, and so on, those approaches typically have not worked. But the more market-driven approaches, put it in there and, you know, gather users, gather acclaim, seems to work much better. Back in the back.
Luis Bermudez.
And then there.
So I strongly advocate the community approach, and the metadata is the purpose also of allowing the users to really understand what the ontology is about. The repository, what needs to do is to provide the enough information so users will easily find what they need. If they find something that is trash, they should not be maybe find what is trash, but they should have the ability to look. For example, the repository can categorize, oh, yes, these are the ones that have 5 stars. Like when you go to eBay, for example. That will happen if we allow the system to provide a lot of feedback. If we select some of us that are going to be gatekeepers, it's going to be very, very, very hard to maintain.
Fabian?
I have a process question. We can't easily spend the next 3 hours discussing this topic again, and I'm afraid that we're actually going back to discussions that we already had, and we already achieved more agreement than it seems that right now. I would suggest that we find that you are doing what you wanted to do before we start to have breakout sessions, and then have one breakout session which is hopefully going to resolve getting to a compromise on the openness question, and one which is, or maybe the same one, is also coming up with an exact specification of a very minimal quality criterion. And because I thought yesterday we actually made some progress, it seemed that the majority doesn't want a strong gatekeeping criterion, which is related to quality, but at least a very, a form of the gatekeeping criteria which says, okay, what is in the metadata needs to match what is in the ontology, seemed to be acceptable, at least to Mark. I'm not sure about Natasha.
I think Barry was, and then...
I'd just like to point out that it's not quite correct to say that central expertise, czar-based approaches have failed where social networking, software-based approaches have manifested success. We're still in the very early stages of any of this, and it's all empirical. I would, however, point out that for 100 years now, we've had a human expertise peer review-based approach to the editing of scientific journals, and it's worked very well. We've had how many weeks of wiki editing of ontologies? With regard to eBay and Amazon, we have to remember that anything, or practically anything, which gets into Amazon.com, and much of what gets onto eBay, already went through a process of human expert centralized authoritarian review in the factory or in the publishing house where it was designed or edited. And giving stars to the end results is a relatively peripheral matter which might relate to the flavors of the ice cream or the color of the cover, and doesn't relate to the internal mechanics, typically, of the object which is being ranked. If we now rely on star-based ranking systems exclusively and say that human expert selection has no role to play, then we will end up with the sorts of things that we were talking about yesterday.
I think you and then Frank.
I'm Dan Gilman, Bureau of Labor Statistics. I'm also the chair of Insights LA, which is the standards committee responsible for the development of 11179 in the U.S. And it seems to me that there's a lot of parallel here between the discussion here and discussions we had in this committee, in the LA committee, 10, 15 years ago when we were first figuring out what the 11179 registry might look like. And that was based on the idea of data elements and data, and we had the advantage that it was organization-based. That is, it was our feeling that companies or government agencies or universities or consortia or whatever would want to have a registry of the data that they were maintaining or disseminating, collecting, and so forth. As a result, we evolved the idea of a registrar, somebody who was locally in charge of the operations of the registry, and would be in charge then of maintaining some kind of quality. Whenever there's the institution of a registry or repository somewhere, there's some artifacts that you want to manage that were developed before the advent of the registry. So you have legacy things, whatever they are, and so legacy data elements aren't designed, or nor do they have the metadata that you like to have. That you could then put in. The ones that are developed afterwards would have would then have all the metadata that the registry cares to have. So the basic idea is that if you have a local control over the quality, you have some people, whatever, who are managing the registry assign quality. Also, this is a model that you might think about in terms of how you design this so-called federated system that you're talking about. And so this is just my input.
Okay, Frank, you had a comment.
Frank Olkin, National Science Foundation. I think we also need to worry some, in addition to the quality of real ontologies being supported, we probably have to worry about spam as well. If these ontologies are going to be up on the web and accessible via URLs, which I'm an advocate of for the REST technology, then people may attempt to spam our system, either for some sort of denial of service attack, although so far I don't think people care enough to do that, but more seriously, just to create links back to, you know, as people send spam to comment logs and blogs and things like that, there'll be incentive to do this. And if we allow wiki-style editing, we may have to deal with the problems that Wikipedia has encountered, in that there may be essentially hostile attempts to alter the ontologies for ideological reasons, for, I guess, conceivably philosophical reasons, or just personal vendettas or things like this. So I think we're going to need some sort of controls on who can edit and under what circumstances and things like that. And that probably means you need identity management and stuff like that as well.
Frank, just a question to clarify. I wasn't clear. Were you talking about editing the ontologies or like metadata and reviews? And
I was thinking of editing the actual ontologies.
Peter?
Yeah, I agree with Frank's point, but I think we should take it at two different levels. The OOR as functional level, being a repository, versus the system security integrity, which I think would definitely be something the implementation people need to talk about. I mean, we could go on and say, I mean, we have to know that we have enough bandwidth or have fast enough computers. I mean, those two, but that's probably not the discussion for this group. We could almost assume the OOR we are talking about, I mean, it will eventually go into an infrastructure that provides that kind of security, that kind of, let's say, spam protection, malware protection, and so on. It's not that it's not important. I don't think it's the right conversation here.
Yeah, okay. Folks, I think one of the things we want to do now is shift into maybe, this is a suggestion, into four groups. Have a breakout session for about an hour. So between now and 11, we'll do the breakout session and also the, break, if you will. And, pardon? Sure.
Hi, Joanne Luciano, MITRE Corporation. I just realized that one of the things that's been going through the back of my mind is that in my own work, I've been trying, and the work in the consortiums that I'm involved in, trying to move this more from an art to a science or an art to an engineering. And while I appreciate both aspects of the rating system and the peer-reviewed system, there's something that's still lacking in those from my perspective, and that's an objective criteria that isn't subjective. So, and I haven't heard much discussion about that. And that's something that I think as we want these things to be more automated, we're going to need more objective criteria. And so I just wanted to get that comment in before we...
Sure. I think a number of us agree with that. But in the interest of time, what I'd suggest is that we divide into four groups, whatever group you're interested in, with the current chairs as the leads, and look at what we have in the communique. If you have decisions that you think should be or outstanding or haven't been made but could be made, maybe to make it and to compose your modification potentially of that section in the communique. I would not work online simultaneously, so I would work on your section offline. But have a discussion for about an hour, and if there's no changes, that's fine. But after an hour or so, we'll come back, and we'll see whatever you have. And then, we'll go through it and see if we can agree. I think we can do this in the same room here. It may mean four corners of the earth here, yeah. So no preferences. Let's see.
What are the four groups you're suggesting?
I'm suggesting the architecture, if you will, the architecture group, ontology of ontologies, quality and gatekeeping, and state of the art. So Frank is here, so I say state-of-the-art there. You can shift, Mike, and you'll be the the ontology of ontologies. Let's see.
Why don't we take a show of hands?
Okay, sure. Yeah. Decide.
I mean, we've obviously just been having a discussion on the quality and gatekeeping, so let's just run through those four just to get a feel for what people, if we decide to do this, of course, what would be the headcounts? Like, who would want to participate in a discussion of sort of nailing down what's in the communique on the state of the art, besides Frank? Well, it's going to focus on what's on the communique to start with, just as a baseline. But if you take a quick look at that, let's get a feel for here. What about the ontology of ontologies position?
Non-controversial.
Okay, that's true too. 1, 2, okay, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 or so. Okay. What about the quality and gatekeeping? Actually, I'd like to do that one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, 6 or so. And what about the architecture discussion? Okay, well, actually, it's not a bad division then, actually. We have I was wondering if it was going to be heavily weighted. We'll have to get some people for Frank's group.
you want to log back in?
Oh, yeah. You want to take it away here?
Yeah. So, you know, and of course, we may not need to meet. I mean, if what's in the communique is sufficient for your purposes.
What is the latest version of the communique? Is it 0.6?
It's whatever's on the wiki. That's the latest version. It was up, yeah.
Yeah, we
just go back.
Maybe suggestion. Maybe you bring up the version 0.6, and either you or Mark can sort of give us a rundown on where it stands now. Maybe the group says we love it.
Okay, I mean, you know, it's about 6 pages, so I didn't want to read it, but. So I passed it myself then. So I'm no. Let me see. Okay, so if you go to this is right off the agenda page for today's session, communique draft, and this is version 6. The introduction basically states the goals, puts a perspective on this. In other words, you know, this is the ontology summit, and what we're trying to address here is in this year is ontology, open ontology repository, where we've agreed that ontology repository is a facility where ontologies, related information, artifacts can be stored, retrieved, and managed. This was an agreement early on by the folks on the list. And basically, we believe in, you know, the semantic web, but we also think that, you know, a thing of value would be some infrastructure that assists in the semantic web, such as an open ontology repository, something that would be open, extensible, and provide common services. So the purpose would be to create this architecture and infrastructure that maybe supports creation, sharing, searching, management of ontologies, prospectively linkage to data instances, and, you know, maybe in cases XML schema structured data and documents. There may be controlled vocabularies too. And provisioning of services associated with this. So it's not just a register and that's it, but there will be services, including the range that we've talked about in the individual groups, semantic services, and prospectively applications that you know, are of interest to enterprises and communities. So these goals, ultimately, we think will help reduce semantic ambiguity and shareability by allowing things to be located, searched, categorized, exchanged, and, of course, mapped. Different formats, and also supporting, obviously, reuse and maybe we can not reinvent the wheel, especially if we can find things that are of interest to us and we don't have to recreate it unless we have to for our purpose. These goals can't be achieved at once. So the resulting OOR will have to be obviously staged, do some low-hanging fruit early, what we agree on, and then continue for some time until we have something that's of interest to us. And, you know, maybe it'll never stop. I mean, maybe, who knows? Shift into requirements. Some of the requirements focusing on, in particular, the requirements that came from the individual thread. So state-of-the-art and repositories, quality gatekeeping, provisioning, developing a sound architecture, ontology of ontologies that would structure, identify metadata and structure it and support, all the other components. Frank and his group came up with a short summary, state of the art, and it's largely what Frank talked about yesterday, and I kind of briefly summarized today. I think that, this is kind of non-controversial, but obviously you could read this. Requires storage, search, retrieval, integration, multiple ontologies, macro level, micro level. Frank and his group made a distinction. Searching mechanisms, we may need to have different kinds of search. Representations of ontologies and, ultimately implementations, if you will, underneath. Some representations are by default close to the implementation because they're graph-structured representation and it's a graph-structured implementation. Others maybe aren't so directly linked to their implementation structure. Discussion about graphs, triple stores, maybe going beyond that to quad stores, even for semantic web technology, and, quin stores and, maybe even more. So a repository, maybe in a common representation, that eliminates obviously one aspect of interoperability, which is the knowledge representation language, right? You don't have to translate back and forth when you do a mapping. The indication is that we're agreeing to have multiple representations, so it's an issue. Partial orders, in other words, supporting modularization between ontologies, parts of ontologies, kind of the subclass backbone of ontology, but now writ large to be about ontology-to-ontology relationships, logical ones perhaps, we hope, in this larger space. Distributed setting, obviously services, service-oriented architectures, more and more significant, and the ontologies in the repository will have to be supported by services, including a range of tools / services such as, editors, development environments, visualization, differencing tools, versioning control, import, export. The quality and gatekeeping group, Barry and Fabian led, again, distinguished between gatekeeping criteria, short paragraph here, six criteria they've formalized, if you will, or at least stated. Maybe the openness is under question. There's some discussion of what the openness is here, and we capture that. Is that, you know, as far as you're concerned, is that what you're agreeing to insofar as that's stated here, or are there still issues? Well, can we agree that we can't necessarily agree? Quality control. Again, you know, from a laissez-faire market-driven approach to, you know, this more rationalist editorial process and things in between, you know, nothing to everything or stages in between or metadata that will provide that information and then have users that have access to that metadata to make decisions. The ontology of ontologies. Michael Gruninger, Pat Hayes, and their group, the metadata should allow users to do these six things stated here. And it's what we've stated a number of times. Is this sufficient that we can agree on? Are there still issues with this? This distinction between logical metadata, engineering metadata, with a short paragraph, a couple paragraphs on what that means. So logical data, metadata, for example, you know, the languages, the expressive and the expressiveness of the languages, partially formalizable messages, languages, topic maps, folksonomies, et cetera, modularity issues, mutual consistency between. So this is a logical metadata. Would you like to know that, you know, these two ontologies are mutually consistent, or that one entails another, or that one extends another, or a relationship, a part of this extends a part of that ontology? Indefinable interpretation. So if they have different sets of primitives and relations, is it possible to define these from one ontology using a second ontology? It's kind of like taking controlled vocabulary the next step. And now I'll talk about kind of ontologies that point back to other ontologies for their core definitions. And engineering metadata, provenance, versioning, applications, use, intent, and domain specificity, biology, biomedicine, manufacturing, an upper ontology. And then candidate solutions and recommendations, such as ontology metadata vocabulary that exists, and there may be others. That's all I think that we have currently in this section. Then the repository architecture and a range of material that came out of that discussion. So, and some of the products that came out of that discussion. So, architecture candidates, use cases, requirements, if you will. There are many discussion threads on the notions of distributed, federated versus open. Open, what is the definition of open? Refers back to other aspects in those other sections. Preferences for content, inclusion of examples in the repositories, functional physical characteristics, non-functional requirements such as scalability, storage, federation, availability, test beds. Also governance standards and the criteria that you know are mentioned in the other sessions. And then, again, you know, a statement, kind of a conclusion from that group on the value and the point of having a good architecture for the repository.
I'd like to cut in and say that...
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
That what has been...
Are you on?
Yeah,
I don't believe
okay.
that it...
gets recorded.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the recording. I guess I have to speak loud enough just for the room.
what is presented here is kind of a synopsis of what had occurred through the discussions, and we have some modifications that will be more in the form of statements of that a architecture shall be, an architecture should support, an architecture will.
Good.
So those modifications I'd like to bring to the group that the subgroup that would be meeting, so that they can take those and say, based on our discussion, I said it right,
okay,
or, ooh, boy, are I off base.
Good.
So that's where I'd like to, rather than working directly from that, we'll tie both of the documents together.
Okay. I mean, so the ground rules will be whatever you provide us, we're going to substitute that for what is currently in the communique. So you have the ownership then, the individual groups. Then the final part here is looking towards the future. Right, so we want to say that we look forward to establishing this open ontology repository that adheres to, you know, so this is the motherhood and apple pie stuff, right? We endorse this, and we're trying to meet the mission requirements that had been discussed and established here. So establishing an open ontology repository. This is now, it's going to be the engineering aftermath, if you will, of this. An initiative which the OOR group will talk a little more about later today that will promote global use of ontologies or instance bases, rules, services, mappings among them, enabling, facilitating open, federated, collaborative ontology repositories, establishing best practices for expressing interoperable ontology work in these open registries repositories, enabling, facilitating the development of common services to support repository and extend the capabilities available to the range of prospective stakeholders, right, providers, users, developers, et cetera, of the repository. And then we believe that creating this kind of infrastructure will facilitate the emerging semantic web. This communique then, you know, was reviewed, collaboratively edited, finalized, and adopted by individuals present at the Ontology Summit 2008, and then we'll follow with an endorsement list. At a certain point, we'll try to get your signatures and names. You can have your affiliation, but it's not. We state that this is not. You're not signing as a representative of your organization, because some of us can't do that. So we have basically an hour, and that's it. We have basically an hour, so what I would do is we had three larger groups and one smaller group. If we can kind of pull in the...
I have two rooms.
Okay.
So we have two small rooms just down the hall available, which will have, hopefully, wireless. We're looking into that right now. So I would suggest the two smallest groups move to the two smaller rooms.
Okay.
And then we might be able to do two opposite corners of this room.
Okay, I think state of the art, and I don't know which the other
one. Yeah, want to do a show of hands on, let's see, I think, why?
Pardon?
You want to move over there, quality and gatekeeping?
Okay.
All right, self-volunteering, okay. All right, and then we'll try and get back here at 11. Go ahead and stretch your legs at the same time. We'll sort of combine this with a break. Yes, Frank. You're looking stunned.
No, you said vaguely there are two small rooms. I'm not sure.
I'll lead you there, yes. It's just down the hall. 113 and 111 is the numbers, but I'll lead you there.
So is there anyone else? I mean, is there anyone else coming to architecture?
Is it a dead subject?
State of the art.
So who, can I have a show of hands, who's going to go with Frank to cover state of the art, please? Okay. We'll put state of the art 111,
okay.
Quality and gatekeeping 113, and I'll lead you there. So, show of hands for quality and gatekeeping. Fabian, look. So that's who's coming. I'll come.
And the other two groups stay here.
Right. The other two groups stay here. We'll have to. You want to manage them? I'll take the other guys.
Okay.
Heard the cat.
Okay. The other two groups, I would suggest we split the room, kind of. I don't know how many we have. We have probably 10 each, maybe. Oh, yes. Now we have folks on the phone, too.
Are people calling in still? Can you say something?
They may be muted.
All right. Well, if you are on the phone, you might want to call back at 11 o'clock. We'll reconvene in the full session again. Okay.
And you can add your comments to the chat session, and then Peter will relay that to us. Thank you. Okay, so we have ontology of ontology, and we have architecture in here. Is that right? Okay, so...